Thank you, Michel. The first message I would like to express is that I finally have the feeling that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And which tunnel, you will ask? There is not light at the end of another tunnel, but the tunnel that I see the beginning of the end of is the convergence tunnel. We will still be working on the four convergence projects for quite a bit of time. I expect till mid-2013. But it is important to note that almost all the substantial decisions on the major projects have been taken. In terms of, if I begin with financial instruments, the joint discussion with the FESB on classification and measurements are substantially complete, and we expect an exposure draft to be out towards the end of 2012 of this year. The other main issue of financial instruments, impairment, largely done. We only have off-balance sheet items left, disclosures and transition requirements. We are going to discuss these next week. And also here we expect an ED to be out at the end of the second half of 2012. So those are the major issues of financial instruments. We have come a lot closer to the FESB. We're not completely converged, but on most important issues, much progress in terms of convergence, and we hope that we will be able to terminate our deliberations. The previous time I talked to you, I expressed my worries about the second very important convergent project, leases. We had a very difficult problem to decide about how to expense the lease assets. There was a lot of pressure from the outside world, and it was very hard for the two boards to reach common conclusions. And I was truly worried that we might not end up converged, and I think in this particular instance that would have been a very bad situation, since there are a lot of people out there who simply do not like leases to come on the balance sheet. By the way, during the final proceedings that we had and the outreach that we did, quite extensive outreach that we did, there was an overwhelming response from users that they indeed, leases, had to come on the balance sheet. We talked to 24 users, 22 out of 24 users told us, please get this done. We already do it in our own calculations. But we do it all in our own way. We need a method, we need rigor, and that is what we are going to provide. Anyway, we reached, I think, a workable compromise with the FESB. I'm not going to bore you with the details. And I also think it's a compromise that comes pretty close to the economic truth. It's very hard in terms of leases to determine what economic truth is. Since leases are an asset in themselves, they are somewhere in between services and financing, but I think we came to a very defensible conclusion, and so this major obstacle is now out of the way, and that is the main reason why I'm sitting here with a sense of relief in terms of the convergence programs. Revenue recognition, you know, I've already told you at previous occasions that we are now starting to do our substantive redeliberations, but we are starting from a converged position with the FSB, and my firm conviction is that we will end up being converged as well, and that we will be able to issue a final standard in early 2013. Then we have the fourth project, which is insurance contracts. I already told you at a previous occasion that here there are the biggest differences between the FESB and the ISB. We started from different positions, in the United States there is already a working standard. We do not have a working standard, and we were also different in terms of process. We are not going to end up completely converged. At the same time, we have reached convergence on many issues, many important issues. For example, the decision to put through OCI changes in the income statement as a result of changes in discount rate. We're going to treat that in the same way. It's a very important decision, and so and there are many more decisions like that. And the fact that we hopefully will come to, will be able to finalize our deliberations towards the end of this year, and that we will, should end up in a new standard, will bring us much closer to the United States for the very fact that we have no standard to begin with now. And although it will not be completely converged, as I said, we on many issues we have reached converged positions. I think we have reached all this progress with a high standard of due process. Due process is the main pillar underneath our independence. Our independence needs to be earned, and it needs to be earned by listening very carefully to our constituents, and I think we have done so. Throughout the convergence program, we have shown clear commitment to due process, often going above and beyond the requirements. For example, revenue recognition, we have re-exposed this, while there was really no absolute reason to do so, since we had not made major changes in the standard. The due process will be further enhanced by the updated due process handbook, which is currently being exposed. And I think that our commitment to evidence-based standard setting also shows in the establishment of a working group to develop an agreed methodology for field testing and effect analysis. And the fact that we are going to invest in the development of a research capability to improve the quality of our standard setting. So we invest on quite a few fronts in improvement of our due process, which is already at a very high standard. Then the third area of progress is that we have reached in May tentative conclusions for our new agenda, the new agenda which will take effect when once the and I think we will start working on, for example, the conceptual framework even before the convergence projects have been finished. I think I told you before what the consensus among our constituents was. It was a very high degree of consensus. All people want us to work on the conceptual framework, which we are going to do. There's a wide desire to improve the disclosure, to create a disclosure framework to improve the materiality of disclosures and to reduce disclosure overload. Then we are going to do some narrow scope standard setting, which does not create an upheaval in the whole world, but which will bring targeted improvements in areas, especially the newer jurisdictions that have adopted our standards. We are most probably going to work on IAS 41, agriculture, how to value, how to measure better crops. We'll have to do work on rate-regulated activities, which is a problem in many areas in the Americas, but also in parts of Asia. We're going to work on the equity method in separate financial statements, which is a big issue in Latin America. I told you already that we are going to invest in research. We have a rough outline for a research program. We're probably going to work on foreign currency translation, which is an issue in some emerging countries. The Korean standard setters have, for example, put a lot of work in that already. We are going to work on study the issue of inflation accounting, which currently is not a problem in all parts of the world, but that you never know what happens with all this money being created around the world. So we better do some research there. And we're going to work on the equity method of accounting. And then we have already started the first post-implementation review on IFRS 8 operating segments. So to sum up, we are now approaching the ending of the era of convergence. We are starting a new era in which the IASB will completely set its own agenda, of course, in very close cooperation with all of its constituents. And for that reason, it is very important that we improve our institutional infrastructure, that we replace the current web of bilateral relations that we have with very important relations with the FESB, important relations with, for example, EFRAG in Europe, important relation with the Japanese standard setter. We have to create institutions where we have a more inclusive approach towards our constituents, standard setters or standard setting bodies, regional standard setters bodies around the world, to bring them together to ease communication and also to hopefully decrease the dangers of non-endorsement by pooling people in our discussions at a very early stage. We are very quickly developing ideas for setting up an accounting standards forum, which will consist of national standard setters and regional bodies. And I expect that we can develop that rather quickly. So as we close the convergence era and we start a new agenda with a new institutional infrastructure, I think we are really at a pivotal moment in time for the for IFRS, for our organization, for the IASB and the IFRS Foundation. And I think it would have been a very good moment for the SEC to come to a decision concerning the way of adoption of IFRS, and we now know that this is probably not going to happen very soon. That is, of course, regrettable given the huge investments that have been made in convergence, the repeated pleas of the G20 for global standards, and the general expectations that have been raised. And I must say, convergence has been a very rewarding way of working for us, but it has also been extremely difficult. Took up a lot of energy to work with two different staffs, with two different cultures, to come to common conclusions in joint sessions of two boards. It was truly very rewarding. It paid off. But it was also a huge investment of energy, and we really want that to come to a positive conclusion. And it is regrettable that this positive conclusion that we will probably have to wait for it. I am still very optimistic. I feel that IFRSs have already achieved a critical mass, and that our future as a global standard setter is absolutely not in in jeopardy. We are firmly entrenched in the America, in the Americas outside the United States, Canada, Latin America. We are firmly entrenched in Europe, of course, and not just the European Union, but also many non-EU countries like Russia, which has recently completely adopted IFRS, and in Asia we have many countries, many important emerging countries, dynamic economies adopting IFRS or already having adopted IFRS or allowing IFRS. So we are very well represented in the most dynamic area of the world. Very optimistic about the future, and I'm also very confident that it will be ultimately in absolutely in the U.S. and interest to embrace our standards. Let me leave it at this, Chairman.
Thank you, Hans. Floor is open to questions or comments. I think this is a very comprehensive presentation, and I guess members of the board are well aware of the quite remarkable work which is made by the IASB and the staff who support them. Eve.
Yes, just to congratulate the board and Hans, because I think now there is a new momentum and acceleration, and we see we are turning the page. We are going to a new area, and I think it's my experience, 3 years here, we see a deep move of extension. It's like a machine, which is, and I think it's very, very, very positive. And when we put that in relations with the globalization of the economy and the total internalization, I think the process of IFRS and the process of standardization, accounting standardization, through IFRS in now. Irreversible move, and that is important for all the member states on this world.
Thank you, Ed, for these encouraging words. Clemens and Jeff.
I have a question relating to IFRS 9 classification and measurement. When work started with IFRS 9, we discussed, you know, whether we should have 2 or 3 categories, and it was seen as a major move forward to simplify accounting for financial instruments by having 2 categories rather than 3. And I recall that the ISB very vigorously defended this approach. Now you are introducing a 3rd category, which is fair valued through OCI for that instrument. Could you explain a little bit further, you know, why you did it and whether it was just a compromise in order to get agreement by FASB, or whether there's also some good logic behind it?
Well, there are actually 2 reasons. One of them is indeed convergence with the FASB, which never left the 3rd category. But secondly, and that was more of an issue of our own, the fact that we felt that, I told you earlier that we took a very important decision in the insurance contracts standard, that we needed probably this category to account for all these financial instruments that would lead to a lot of volatility in the income statement as a result of changes in the discount rate. And a lot of users and preparers have asked us to create a possibility or a requirement to put these changes through OCI. And those 2 reasons combined have led us to reintroduce this category to solve these 2 problems. It has also come to our attention that it is true that IFRS 9, as it was certainly more simple. 2 categories are more simple than 3 categories. But we do have a feeling that banks were counting on being able to keep measure a lot of instruments at amortized costs, even if there were more than infrequent tradings in these instruments. And I think that it might in practice have resulted in problems, and that in the end they might turn out to be happy that we are reintroducing this category fair value through OCI.
Jeff?
Chairman, I'd just like to provide some observations in respect of what Hans mentioned regarding the maturing of the relationship with the national and regional status setters. From an Asia-Oceania perspective, we have over 40 jurisdictions that meet on a regular basis, both from a policy perspective but also a standard setter level. And there is no doubt that there is a very significant level of momentum within our region towards either adoption or moving towards adoption of IFRS. So we very much welcome the expanded relationship. We regard, certainly within the AOSSG, that we're ready for that relationship and look forward to it being enhanced. The other observation, Chairman, is the fact that the opening of the regional office in Japan will also provide a very important opportunity for, I guess, a focus within Asia-Oceania of IFRS. And so I think that, you know, notwithstanding the comments that you provided regarding the United States, I think that from the Asia-Oceania perspective, there is very definitely a very positive and a strong momentum in favour of IFRS.
Thank you, Jeff.
Don't need to comment much. I completely agree. I must say, indeed, that the creation of the AOSSG in your region was extremely important because it has led to developments in other parts of the world, Latin America, and it really gives us a great opportunity. If we create this accounting standards forum, for it to be effective, it has to be both inclusive and it has to be compact. And it can only be those two things together, thanks to the existence of these regional organizations, which comprise a lot of constituents. So I really would like to pay tribute here to the efforts that have been undertaken in your region.
Chairman, I should have made one additional comment, if you'd allow me. Namely, I think that a very good example of the effect of what Asia-Oceania contribute is indeed going to be forthcoming from South Korea. That they are providing a report on their experiences of IFRS introduction, and it will be a very positive document, but I think on the other hand it's going to be a very informative document, particularly for jurisdictions that are contemplating adoption of IFRS and the methodologies under which the process will be undertaken.
Thanks, Jeff. Any other comment?
Yes, Aki. Hans, you didn't mention about the hedge accounting. Hedge accounting is not joint project, but you are talking with the FASB. What's going to be outcome of this project?
Well, that is not completely clear. We finalized our deliberations on general hedge accounting. We will very shortly, I hope, put a staff paper, a staff version of the standard on our website to give people to time to opportunity to react, and then it will very shortly be followed by the final standard. So we have more or less completed our work. One of the reasons why we first decided to put a staff draft out is, to, among others, to also give the people from the FASB some time to consider our proposals and to see whether which steps they are going to make. This is a standard which has been widely anticipated by our constituents, which we will go through with, and it's really up to the FASB to decide what they want to do.
Thank you. Pedro?
I appreciate Very much indeed, Hans Overgaard's presentation. I share his confidence about the future. It's not an unfounded confidence. It's based on 10 years of achievement, which allow us to look with confidence for the next 10 years in building up a single set of high-quality accounting standards. Listening to my friends from Asia and Oceania, I think it's part of our work in bringing together standard setters to work together. We have created recently a group of Latin American standard setters, which I think will manage to engage the bigger economies in Latin America towards the Brazilian way of fully adoption of IRS in a not too distant a future. We have talked about the short term, taking a quick decision towards that effect. And I appreciate the way we work together, the trustees, the IASB, and the stakeholders and the standard setters in the region. It's going very well, and I'm very confident about it.
Thank you. Any other comment? Sorry, Dr. Koop.
I also totally thankful to the successful completion of this heavy work of the IASB. But as I mentioned during the DPOC meeting, I want to confirm how do we treat and deal with the tricky matter of foreign currency evaluation. We raised that issue as an agenda consultation, but many of the Korean shipbuilding and manufacturing areas has been in the murmuring and the staggering in handling these issues, but I fully understand how difficult the nature of this problem is, but we should know, confirm that the timeline, how long it will take, and how in the interim period, how can we deal with this matter, and we can consult with the users of our international standards, accounting standards. That's why we may have some joint consultation, the related interest group together as well as possible, and making a good solution within the short period. In any kinds of decision, that may be acceptable, okay? But the unresolved issue has been very long been in the real world of accounting societies. It's a very critical issue at the moment, okay?
In a different discussion, I already said that I think we should not let this simmer too long, that we should try to get in the research phase, try to get answers quickly, even if they are not what the Koreans may like, because it is very difficult to solve this. Listening to you just now, I couldn't help think about, I know that Korea on two occasions, first in the Asian crisis in the 90s and then very briefly during the outbreak of the financial crisis, had tremendous swings in its foreign exchange rate, and that it caused massive problems for Korea. I couldn't help think about a group of countries that do not have foreign exchange problems because they have a common currency. And I wonder which problem is bigger than the problem that Korea has with its foreign exchange, or the problems that this group of countries with a common currency has. But this is just a side comment.
Life is not easy for anybody.
I think the adoption country we have to follow a certain guideline from the ISB eventually. Regardless, their foreign exchange policy can be developed further in the future. That's why it's our, I think it's our duties and responsibility to make a very concrete idea about the any kinds of new issues raising during the implementation.
Absolutely. No, what is very commendable about the Korean position is that they have not just raised issues, but that they have also produced a lot of work towards the solution of this issue. So that in this research phase, we don't have to start from scratch, but with the help of the Korean Accounting Standards Board, can delve into the issue very quickly. And let's try to do that as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate fruit forward done by the board. I just would like to make one suggestion that I think as we develop new efforts and particularly as Hans mentioned about the four standards of financial instruments, those standards are very important to the financial sector, and particularly the board has done a lot of the outreach program and listened to a suggestion from users or so. I just would like to suggest that this kind of outreach program or discussion could be extended to more users from the emerging market economies. For instance, like China, we now move towards final adoption of the IFRS. And since those new standards very much different with existing ones. So to facilitate the adoption of IFRS, new standards of the emerging market economy, I really hope this practice of outreach could be extended to cover countries like China also before the final publication of the standards. In such a case, maybe will facilitate countries like China to implement IFRS in a very smooth way. Thank you.
Is your suggestion that we should use the emerging economies group to do such outreach? Or okay, yeah, I know it has had very productive meetings, a recent one in Buenos Aires. So we should continue that way of working.
Thank you, Hans. For the sake of timing, I think we should move to the next item, having thanked Hans and his team for their remarkable work. I just want to add for full information that together with the development of the new framework with the standard setters, there is this effort to build a new relationship or a better relationship with IOSCO with regard to implementation, field testing, input from the field, if I may, to our work. We now move to the report of the Advisory Council Chair. Paul, you have the floor.